Good morning. We are honored to have Mike Kramer here representing the powerful ministry of the Gideons. And he's going to be sharing with us. We have had a tremendous Monday evening of testimonies. And I won't say anything about Constantine. You know, Mike, maybe she'll get to talk to us someday. But wow, what incredible witnesses. And it's always a blessing to receive the witness of the Gideon ministry. Now, you'll see in your bulletin here, and of course, we always have the opportunity to support Gideons on any week, and plus we have the representation here, the stand here. Brother Warren has made sure we've got that for the various card opportunities. Those cards are just tremendous, Warren. I think I shared with you a couple years ago, that was one of the greatest opportunities that Gideons have given us, because you know many times there's an occasion, for instance, in a time of bereavement. We're going to touch on that very topic here in just a moment. That has come to our doorsteps. But in the time of bereavement, when you want to send a sympathy card, you have an opportunity to get a beautiful card from the Gideons, at the same time presenting a Bible in loving memory of that loved one who has gone to the Lord. So there's just tremendous opportunities. You want to look, peruse this. We've also placed offering plates at both of our entrance exits, so that you'll have an opportunity, if you wish, to do a change offering, a plate offering as well at those various locations. But Mike, it's wonderful to have you here. And as I said, my goodness, the topic of the bereavement and the cards that the Gideons provide, that has come to our doorsteps. I'm very, very sad to inform you that Dwight Smith passed away last night. And Susan and her husband Tom are with us this very morning. And I know you're going to want to embrace them following the service. So remember Susan, remember Tom, remember Alan, remember the family, and certainly the extended family. I know Bob and John Hall are like sons to Dwight. So remember them as well in your prayers. Now, the time of that funeral, those times will be announced later, because we also have yesterday as well, on the very same day, Paul Moorhead passed away, Dottie's husband. Dottie's a regular at the 1111. She's a regular for the Bible studies here in the fall. And we, by the way, we do have the Bible study picked out for the fall, so we'll get that sign-up sheet to you next week. We'll make sure we got that up for you. But it's the Deeper Connection series, and it's a wonderful series. I know Marianne Hall knows how good that series is, so we got another one of those. But Dottie was a regular attender of those Bible studies, and now her beloved husband of 63 years, they had been married back in April. They celebrated their 63rd anniversary. So please remember Dottie. Again, we're not certain. Andy Gerhardt, wonderful human beings. We'll be working with the families, both families, with Susan and Tom here, and with Dottie and her family. But it's looking like Paul would be here, the funeral would be here on Wednesday morning. But that is not definite. So as soon as we get the definitive word on that, we'll be sure to pass that along to you, get the word out in the community. Speaking of the community, are there any of the parish notices to come before us at this time? Yes, sir, Brother Dave.
Yeah, I just wanted to take time to thank all the ushers for all the help that they have provided for our church and everything. But next month, I do need someone, because Glenn Garris is on the schedule for next month. So if anyone would want to help cover his spot next month, would they please let me know after the service? Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. And I know Janet and Chip are here. Certainly all our prayers go out to Brother Glenn and the family. Just continue to lift up your prayers. And I will tell you what my witness is of Glenn. Those prayers certainly are working. What a remarkable disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, and what incredible, extraordinary faith his faith has helped to strengthen mine, Brother Dave. I'm so grateful for Glenn and his witness. Any other parish notices to come for us? Yes, Vicki.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I walked into the food pantry this morning, and I had heard there had been some people that had visited the food pantry and brought us chickens. And the freezer is blessed with chickens, frozen chicken. Thank you to the Dealey family. Then I walk in this morning, and there are, gosh, I think I counted 12 boxes of food, and I believe that came from the football game Friday night. Thank you to Crestview, Dave, and their staff for providing food for our food pantry. And while I'm here, how are we doing on the beef and pork project? Okay, Susie says we're going to have a beef purchased at the fair this year. So the food pantry has been very blessed this week, and we thank you very, very much for that. Also, I have a little short video for the Walk for Life for Pregnancy Life Center. That's coming up on September the 15th at 2:00. That's a Sunday this year. They're kind of changing the format. Instead of on a Saturday, they're going to have it on a Sunday. And if you're interested in walking, I know Warren picked up a sponsor sheet. If anybody else is interested in walking, they're out in the vestibule out here. If you don't feel like you want to walk, I have a few spots left on mine that I would be glad to take your sponsorship. And also, the Pregnancy Life Center, they do t-shirts every year. If you collect $200 in sponsorship, you receive a t-shirt. They also give a t-shirt to each of the participating churches' pastor.
Well, thank you. Thank you, dear.
So, you might recognize... Grandbabies, could you tell? one is 5 and one is 19.
Thank you, Vicki. That's beautiful. Any other parish notices to come before us? Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship.
Mm-hmm.
you have made, we rejoice. We are glad in it. Open our eyes to your risen presence. Open our hearts to your sovereign reign. And open our hands for your service. All to the glorious of Jesus Christ and his kingdom, we pray. Amen. Children to come forward for the children's moments. so glad to be back with you. You know, we're just getting back from vacation. And we've been, it's kind of been a working vacation. It's been a lot of fun. I've got so much to be thankful for. But we've been moving out to the house. We pretty much live there now. And by the way, the number is in the bulletin. Take note of that. Let's test old Greg. Let's test him. Ready, Lauren? Let's see. 419-605. Here comes the big test right here. Ready, Gloria? Let's see if you will make me do it. 3156. 3156. Is that right, Mother? See, I talk to myself, Gloria, but I don't call myself. I don't call myself. But if you need us, that's the new parsonage number. So 605-3156. I did it again. That's pretty good. But I'm stopping while I'm ahead. Well, on this vacation, I got to be with the UMYF, and I see them back here now. Well, we sure had fun, didn't we, Coach? Didn't we have a great time? And that night, of course, Laura and I stayed in my hometown, Cincinnati. I kind of was hoping maybe to see the Reds, Jeannie and Jeff, but I didn't get to see them. But nevertheless, I saw all my family. So it was a really rich journey. And where we stayed, Mike, Brother Mike, where we stayed, a beautiful place right near Kings Island, in fact. And so since it was so close to the grounds of Kings Island, I therefore stayed till 7 o'clock and left. Is any laughter out there? Bob's laughing. Bob got it. I'm getting a little old to stay that late at Kings Island, but no, we had a glorious day. And where we stayed, I opened one of the drawers there in the room, and there was, sure enough, Brother Mike, it was a Gideon Bible. Gideon Bible. Now that really touches my heart because here's my Gideon Testament. Vesper Jones was a farmer in my dad's church, Scottsville, Kentucky, home of the original Dollar General store. And Vesper Jones was a tremendous farmer, Dick. He was a great agriculturalist. He was also the county, an inspector, health inspector. He was a health inspector. So he was quite a businessman, quite a farmer, and he was also a Gideon. And I can remember right there at the elementary school where I attended, Scottsville, Kentucky, off the grounds then, Mike, it was. They observed the protocol. But boy, all of us children lined up and looking here. I still have that. I still have it. And I still lean on it. I still lean on this. I've made hospital calls. Brother Warren, I've made hospital calls where I had this. Where I had this and leaned on it for the Word of God. The Word of God. You don't want to be without the Word of God. We don't want any child to be without the Word of God, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to have a prayer here for the Gideons. And we have the basket offering opportunity if you have pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. Mom and Daddy might have a dollar or two, you know, they want to put in the plate. You can do that as well. But we want the Word of God, all right? We want the Word of God to go to children all around the world. All around the world. Let's have a circle prayer. Let's make a circle prayer. You ready? It's good to see you, boy, children. I'm so glad to see you again. Good to be with you. Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Word. Or where would we be without the message of Jesus in our lives? And we want other children to know that Word. So we pray for the work of every Gideon and for the auxiliaries. The Lord God, we pray for their spouses. We pray for their work that the Word of God may go to all children throughout the entire world. Again, to the glory of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now that's a mission work that we're going to be continuing to pray for. And Brother Mike, we have a sort of an evangelistic outreach of our own right here every Sunday. Every child gets two suppers. You all know the drill, don't you, Mason? Yeah. So they can take one home with them. They get one to take home with them. And then one they will hand to another person, perhaps a child, perhaps an adult. I remember one day they gave me one. Do you hear that day? They give you one too? They said, Jesus loves you. God bless your son. Here you go. Go keep it. Got to the two you want, one that you want, and one you want to give to somebody. Lord bless you with it. Very good. Yeah. Oh, I think you picked some winners there. Yes, you did. You can root down in there if you want. Yeah, that's it. Go ahead and get down in there and see one there. Dreamy, you got one there. All right, be sure to get your other one, Dreamy. All right, children, you may return to your pews, and Dreamy's going to help us this morning with the microphone. If we've got visitors here today, again, what a tremendous day to hear the work of the Gideons. We're looking forward to Mike sharing here in just a few moments. But during this time of the joys and concerns, get you better acquainted. By the way, there's a visitor's card. We want to show hospitality to you. If you want to fill that out, put your name and your phone number when the morning offering takes place. The ushers will come by. Just drop that in the offering plate. And I promise you, they always get me those cards. And we get a call back out to you. Get you acquainted. This portion of the service, joys and concerns. A joy, for instance, could be a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary. It could be a testimony of how the Lord Jesus has given you strength in your journey. You want to lift up that witness, lift up that joy. Raise your hand, or it could be a concern, someone you love who is in need of prayer. Just lift up your hand. Joys or concerns, keep them up, though, so that Dreamy can see you and bring you the microphone, so we can all hear in the house.
I got some joys. Last night we had our 50th class reunion, and we had 32 out of the 52 of our classmates that showed up. We had 8 deceased, and the Lord sure blessed us, got everybody here safe and everything. And He also blessed me with being able to do the invitation and the prayer and everything for last night, and he helped me through that, and we all had a real good time. And also my daughter, she is doing a lot better. She's starting to get out and walk some now. Her one lung is trying to collapse, but they're still concerned about it a little bit, but she's feeling a whole lot better. And she told me to thank the church and the prayer committee and everything for all the prayers, and that they are really helping. So glory goes to God.
Jean has got the prayer warriors here, I promise you. Yes, indeed, Father. She has the prayer warriors here.
Our sister-in-law, Stella Stevens, got to go home from the nursing home yesterday and is doing real well. But her husband, Dave, which is Gail's brother, he's put on stronger morphine, so he's not doing well at all.
Karen, thank you for lifting him up. Any others to be lifted up? Concerns or joys? Joys or concerns? Yes, Brother Warren.
With Fair Week coming up, boy, we could say lots of different things about the fair. But see, Pastor Greg, the Crossroads, is it Thursday night?
Thursday night.
From 7:30 to?
It's supposed to be 7:30 to 10:30, I think.
Okay, all right. 10:30 is getting a little late for me.
Well, it's getting a little late for me. I may have the proverbial canned music playing while we're tearing down at 10, because I think I turn into a pumpkin when I'm dead.
But anyways, if you can get there at the entertainment tent, you really hear some good music. Now, we also have for the second year, or is it the third year, gosh, for the Gospel Pavilion.
Yes, sir.
And this year we have a concrete floor in there, which is,
yes.
And lots of great quartets coming there. So
yes,
check the schedule,
brother.
And celebrate at the fair.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
We want to thank you for your prayers over the past and hope for them in the future. Our daughter just Monday went through another procedure, which she's only survived 1 in 15, and we hope she can keep doing it, because she had a real bad stroke a week ago Tuesday.
Oh, my Larry. My goodness, Larry, your daughter, your beloved, has really been through it. Yes, indeed, we continue to pray for her. Thank you, Brother Larry.
I'm going to guise this as a joy, just because I have a little senior moment earlier, though. Our United Methodist Women's restarts on September 4th, and so that's coming quickly upon us. And just a reminder of all the ladies that are part of that programming, we've had a switch around of programs, and I believe Vicki is going to do the September program, which is our pledge service and our mission update, and then she's going to switch around with Marie. The greeters are Marilyn Reed and Eileen Rice, and our hostesses are Judy Farmer and Jean Whittem. So just a reminder to invite all the ladies back on September 4th at 7 o'clock.
You've got a powerful roster of leaders there, Lynn. That sounds exciting. Thank you so much. Hey, any other sharings? Any other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns? Well, can we show an appreciation for Dreama and Sis, who has helped? Yes, indeed. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. Let us turn to the Lord in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, where would we be without your word in our lives? Where would we be without the message of our Savior Jesus Christ? We'll never have to know that. You have provided for us, Lord. We are blessed, but we want those blessings to go on to others. So we ask that you anoint our speaker this morning. Bless Mike as he comes to give a heartfelt witness of the work of the Gideons, the urgency of that need, of that mission, of that work, that evangelistic outreach, oh Lord, that your word will not return void, but that will return with fruit. We want to be part of that fruit. All to the glory of Jesus, we pray. Now bless us as we lift up from our hearts that beloved prayer that our Savior has invited us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go to invite us to stand for this hymn to prepare our hearts for the Gideon message. And this is a good one for preparation. 599, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Let us stand together.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I can't read this. Those are the words from a young man named Jason, who was incarcerated at a county jail in Texas. The Gideon gentleman who gave him the Bible said, Jason, I'll pray for you this week that you not only understand this with your heart and mind as well. The reason Jason said that is he was a very severe dyslexic. He could only read maybe a couple sentences, and he read so slowly that by the time he got done with those, he'd forget his training. He'd forget what the story was about. But jail has a way of curing some of those things, because you got lots of time there. And the Lord answered the Gideon's prayer. Jason not only understood it with his mind, but with his heart, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior that week. This is what we do. We place Bibles in places where God can work on people's hearts. We've been in existence for 110 years. We place Bibles now. We're in 190 different countries worldwide. We put Bibles in the byways and the highways of life. That would include schools, hotels. We place them in the hands of college students. We put them in doctors' offices, nursing homes, lawyers' offices. One of the most important places is in the hands of the young military men and women when they go into boot camp or when they're stationed overseas. We see that each one of them gets a testament. We place, now I believe it's up to about two Bibles every second somewhere in the world, thanks to help from churches like you. We adhere to the verse in Isaiah 55:11. It says, my word goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me void, it will accomplish what I desire, it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And we know that purpose is to make people aware that everybody has a Savior out there, a Redeemer that will cure any sin problem. I'm going to tell you about a few of these people now that had sin problems. First one was Ben. Ben was just a normal guy, kind of like the men in the audience here today. Wife, couple kids, good job, took a vacation once in a while. Sounds like most of us. He would go into a hotel room when they were on vacation, and he would see the Gideon Bible on the bedstand, and he'd say, who reads that anyway? And flip on the TV like most of us do sometimes. Well, things went sort of bad for Ben. He had a real bad accident at work, was partially paralyzed, lost his job. His marriage was kind of shaky anyway, and his wife left him and took the kids. He was very depressed over all this and was planning his own suicide. He was going to do the deed in a hotel room, and he laid out the pills on the nightstand and a glass of water and getting ready to do the deed when he saw that Bible laid on the nightstand that nobody reads. So he picked it up, opened it up to the fifth chapter of Matthew and started reading Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He had heard a lot of the scripture before from back when he was a child in church, and the wisdom of Jesus' words just overwhelmed him. And it wasn't long before he was on his knees asking the Lord to forgive him and save him from his sins. He was a Christian that day and became instrumental in leading his family to Christ. Another example of how God works through his own word, through the Holy Spirit. Another person was Humi. Humi was a Japanese student. Totally non-religion. She had no religion whatsoever. The Japanese are like that. They seem to have a bent on disassociating themselves with any religion. Anyway, she was at school and she saw young men and women bringing in a little book from out on the sidewalk. Somehow she thought, I need to get this book. When she reached and grabbed one from the gentleman passing them out, she was disappointed to see that they were a religious book. But she put it in her purse anyway. It wasn't too long later when she was invited. She had been seeking a home in the United States to be placed there as an exchange student so she could further her English education. She wanted to learn English, and that was the best way to do it. And she got to her home. This home, she found that they were a Christian family, and she noticed on the coffee table a book similar to the one she had in her purse. So to impress the family, she would take this book out, which was in her, language, and she would pretend to read it. She had no interest in it, but she just pretended to read it. And it wasn't long before she actually started reading it. And the words started to make sense to her. God, through the Holy Spirit, started to prick her heart. It wasn't long before she was asking questions to her host family, and she became a Christian. Just by pretending to read God's word at first. Another gentleman, name of George. George was a very, very successful architect in Europe. He was wanted all over the continent. He had 5 and 6 projects going at once. His life was in turmoil as far as being so busy that he was hardly ever at home. He enjoyed his job, but it was very nerve-wracking. One night, instead of flipping on the TV, he reached over and grabbed that book that was laying on the nightstand. Now, you must understand that George was probably an atheist. He hadn't even basically thought about religion. All his faith basic was what man could do through science. He really didn't know if he was atheist or what. He just didn't give it any thought. But he opened the Bible that night and fell open to the little book of Philippians, and his eyes focused on a verse, 4:7, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, he didn't believe in this Christ Jesus. The word God meant nothing to him, but the word peace jumped out at him. That meant something to him. He knew he didn't have that. So he breathed this prayer, the only one he's ever remembered praying, God, I need this peace. And he closed the book, laid it down, and basically forgot all about it. Well, a couple years went by, and he got word that his daughter had joined an occult. Well, it wasn't an occult at all. She'd just become a Christian, was going to church like you folks, but he thought that was a bad thing. And he was bound determined to check this out, so he found out where she was going to church, and he snuck in the back and sat in the back there and listened to them go through their pre-service, their music. None of that impressed him too much until the pastor got up, and his topic that day was Philippians 4:7. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That impressed him. The only time he had read Bible, that's the verse he read. And the Lord spoke to him through the pastor, and before the service was over, George accepted Christ as his Savior. The last testimony I want to give you was the most incredible one I've ever heard, about a young man in China. He came to me through the young man himself. He's not a young man anymore, he's a middle-aged man, but he told us this testimony at a church service that I happened to attend one time. It's not necessarily about a Gideon Bible, but it's about the Lord's Word. He was raised in a small town in China, back in the strong communist regime of the former leader. He grew up in a town so small, smaller than Convoy. Houses, none of them had working toilets, nothing, like just poor as poor could be. Totally forgotten place. His dad and his grandfather were communist leaders of the village. If you could call it a village, it was about 6 or 7 or 10 houses. He was very smart. He attended the school, if you want to call it that. It was basically, he went to the house of the most learned man in town, and he taught him what he knew. And he didn't know much, but they pounded into him, there is no God, and God came from apes. Both these things bothered him a lot, because if there is no God, why did they mention it? Makes sense? Why bring it up? If there's no God, well, why even say there's no God? Just don't even talk about it. And the fact that we came from apes bothered him, because he knew there was apes still out there someplace, and that didn't make sense either. As time went on, he got a chance to go to a neighboring school, an actual school. He was the smartest kid in town, and everybody expected him to be the communist leader someday of that community. So he went to this other village to get some schooling. It actually had a library. He was basically wanted to learn English, so they gave him books in English to read. That was basically most of his schooling. Well, he kept reading across finding the characters that were in this book called the Bible. He would read about the wisdom of Solomon. It's in the Bible. He'd read about the patience of Job. Another one in the Bible. Strength of Samson. Another character from the Bible. Man, if I could just get a hold of one of these books called the Bible, I could really learn it. I'd know more about what I'm reading about in these other books. Well, he went to his professor about this, and his professor just lost it. The word Bible was a bad name. They didn't even like to mention anything. He never heard of Jesus. He'd never heard of that name. He'd only heard about God, because there is no God, and Mao is God. If there's no God, how can Mao be God? You know, that didn't make sense. Mao being the communist leader. Anyway, after he was chastised by his professor, got to thinking, probably God changed his thinking, and he thought, you know, this boy is very smart. I know where a Bible is. I could give him a Bible and he could read it, and probably would enhance his education. So he said he knew where some Bibles were in the bottom floor of the library in a box that they hadn't destroyed, and he gave him one. It was in English. But that's what he studied anyway, so that was good. So he said, I want you to give this back to me in a week, and don't tell anybody I'm giving this to you. So Hong Yang, I haven't told you his name, but that was his name. Hong Yang took the book, went home, opened it up. Where do you start reading a book? He didn't know it had 66 different books in it. And he knew that English books started at the beginning, so that's where he started. Opened it up to Genesis 1:1. What does that say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The two main things that bothered him answered in that first verse. There's a God, and he was our creator. We didn't come from apes. That just transfixed him on that book. He couldn't put it down. Now, you guys have all tried to read through Numbers and Leviticus. That's pretty hard to do. He kept right on barreling through it. Now, you got to understand, he's reading it in a foreign language. Keeps reading through it. Somehow gets through all those chapters that would put you to sleep. You know, I mean, they're pretty tough, some of them. It's all those. And he gets to the New Testament. He starts reading about this man named Jesus. He says, I have no idea where, but somewhere in Matthew I was saved. His trust in the Lord was so great. Just by reading God's word, No help from anybody. Nobody praying for this man. Just the Bible and him and the Holy Spirit. He has this book for a week. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't go to class. He reads the Bible, turns through, has time enough to grab some paper, copy things down in his own handwriting. He ended up having like 150 sheets of paper that he had written stuff down so he could share with his friends after he gave the book back. That's how inspired he was with what he read. Gave the book back. Today, Hong Yang is in this country. He organizes trips to China as a Bible smuggler. I'm not supposed to say that, but don't tell anybody. But he can still get in trouble for doing that. Just an example of how powerful God's word is. Like I said earlier, all by himself, nobody praying for him, nobody knows this guy. God's word in him, and he finds salvation there. So many times we think we got to say the right words to people. We give them a copy of God's word and let the Holy Spirit take care of it. That's the story. That's what we do. Just put Bibles in hands of people who don't have them or want one. What can you do for us? Well, you can pray for us. We need prayers. We need new members. Our membership is pretty old. It's hard to get younger guys to join in. You can pray that it's easier to hand out Bibles in foreign countries than it is our own country. We have trouble passing them out in schools anymore. We are so many regulations. We pray that the school situation stays open. You can continue to give. I know you've given in the past. A box of New Testaments costs about $135 for 100 Testaments. If only one of those reached its mark, that's sure worth $135. And we know a lot more than that do. Your pastor mentioned there's a collection place today, and we thank you for what you're going to donate today. You can use the Gideon cards. You have a nice rack back at the back. It tells inside, gives you instructions on how to use those cards. We appreciate those donations. Most of all, I want to thank the pastor for being so friendly toward us. It's nice to come into church where he does all my job for me. He's already promoted me. I thank you very much for your time. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Well, and Brother Mike, here it is. There it is right there. Vesper Jones, I remember elementary school, Scottsville, Kentucky. What a blessing that continues to be the Word of God. Thank you, Mike. This time, the ushers will assist us in the morning offering.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. We offer our thanks and joy this day as we return these offerings to you, O God. Receive these gifts with our gratitude as our true worship in reverence and awe for all that you have done, all that you have spoken, and all that you are doing still. Amen. Before we have this concluding hymn, don't forget, please, the baskets in the vestibule, and so that you can give a love offering, change offering to help out to support the Giddings. And Brother Warren, as we were talking about, this isn't an occasion of bereavement for us. Where are the cards? Where are they placed in the sanctuary? I don't know whether one knows where the Gideon card opportunities are. Are they right back here, Brother? Very good. Very good. Very good. We lift up our hearts now to the Lord in this closing hymn of commitment. And again, Brother Mike, here's a good one for the theme of our Gideon. It's 569. We've a story to tell to the nations.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all, now and forever. Amen.